thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
Now, have you ever been scammed? Well, the full extent of fraudulent Britain has been revealed with a definitive ranking given to the most damaging frauds affecting people today. Professor Mark Button from the Centre for Counter-Fraud Studies at the University of Portsmouth has spent 2 months analysing and categorising the effects on Brits. And he joins us now. Hello, Professor Button.
Hello.
Now, first of all, are scams on the increase then in the UK?
Yes, it would be the simple answer. Although we haven't been measuring it properly for some time, but with the growth of the internet and the related technologies and the huge number of new opportunities there are to commit fraud, there has been a rise in this type of fraud. In fact, the recent government statistics that came out last week show that of the 11.5 million plus crimes that people suffer in England and Wales, 3.5 million of them were frauds. So that kind of illustrates the size of the problem.
It's almost as if fraud is becoming more valued as a means of getting cash from people, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, for many criminals, it's much easier for them to use frauds to make money than it is to burgle houses. So there is some anecdotal evidence of criminals switching from traditional crimes towards fraud.
So who actually are being targeted then in this?
Everybody. There is particular frauds targeted at particular groups. But everyone gets targeted with some kind of fraud. So, for instance, investment frauds might be targeted more at pensioners. Obviously, you have money to invest, and middle class, rich men who are businessmen who like to dabble in the stock market. But ticket frauds, the latest tickets for a pop concert, might be targeted more at students and young people. So, there is a fraud for everybody.
So when you see a ticket fraud, for instance, is that you ordering and buying a ticket, and then when you get it, you find that it's a fake?
It's a fake one, yes. Or you order a ticket and nothing arrives. That is a very common scam targeted at young people.
Now, there's a couple of examples in the research, aren't there, of some quite serious scams. There was one I noticed of a chap who had the German authorities pursuing him.
Yes, I mean, he lost his passport, and that passport was used by fraudsters to create companies, and those companies then developed a kind of tax liability to the German government, which they then pursued him for, because it was all undertaken in his name. So identity frauds can lead to those sort of secondary consequences of not only the loss, but the shattered reputation as well, as a result of the fraud that takes place.
I think there was a figure, was it £150,000 worth they were actually pursuing him for?
That's right, yes.
So you then have to fight a battle then if you're in that position, don't you?
Yes, and it becomes very time-consuming for individuals to fight that battle, and that's a particularly bad example. But just think about a more mundane fraud that someone might suffer, where their credit card is used to buy a whole series of goods online. You then have to phone up your bank. You have to make a claim that this wasn't you. You then may have to prove certain bits of information to convince the bank, and you may get your money back, but you might have spent several hours having to deal with it, and probably many more hours worrying about what other things might have been done with your personal information.
I remember my father used to get targeted, and the phone would go in what we call the wee hours of the morning.
Yep.
And he actually, in his 80s, he managed to track it down. I don't know how he did it, and it was on the border between Canada and America it was coming from, and it was a lottery scam.
Yes. Those are those in the league table that I produced for Privilege Insurance, that was the third most harmful fraud, and lottery scams where you get phoned up or you receive mail through traditional post or an email to say that you've won the lottery and that you just need to pay a small fee to access the prize are very common types of fraud.
And I think because things are changing, you've mentioned this, so much is done online now, and for a lot of our listeners, who have visual problems. A computer is a fantastic tool, but also it can leave you more vulnerable, I think.
Yes, I mean, the internet has provided a whole range of wonderful things for us to do, to shop, to compare prices, etc., etc. But it has also opened up a whole series of new risks. You know, we can go and look to book a holiday, look at different properties, and you find a property that you think is the one for your holiday, but that could be a fictitious property. So it's opened up a whole new range of risks that unfortunately many of us fall for.
What is a slimming scam? I noticed that in the research.
Yeah, slimming scams are where you are tricked into buying pills or treatments which claim to radically reduce your weight. Those are particularly scam targeted. Tends to be more women than men. Particularly this time of year, are quite common.
And also, we've been hearing recently about dating frauds as well, haven't we, on dating sites?
Yes, and romance fraud has grown hugely over the last 10, 15 years as the way we date has changed. Increasingly, people find love online via dating websites. And unfortunately, some fraudsters will set up fictitious profiles, false pictures, and then start developing a relationship with an individual and then gradually groom them into eventually giving them some money, lending them some money, which they obviously then disappear with. And they're particularly bad type of frauds because not only does the victim lose the money, but they lose the person they thought they were falling in love with.
Yeah, which probably leaves them more vulnerable, doesn't it?
Yes.
So, as a piece of advice then, a lot of this seems to stem from identity fraud from some extent. What is something we can do as a first step to try and keep ourselves secure?
Well, also, I think, first of all, be very careful who you reveal your personal information to. Be very careful, particularly about unsolicited emails, telephone calls that are seeking for you to provide any kind of personal information. I think also keep up to date with the very latest scams. There's a government website, Action Fraud, which provides a whole range of resources and information that can help you to identify the very latest scams and be aware of those so you don't fall victim for them. And then I think the other important thing to do in terms of your own protection is just don't necessarily believe that just because someone says in an email or over a telephone that they are a police officer or they are from your bank, that they are, because it's obviously very easy to impersonate on the internet. And don't be rushed into things. Often the scammers will say there's a deadline. You know, if you want to get this holiday, you need to book it by, you know, 12 o'clock today. Otherwise, it's gone. You know, these shares are only going to be available today. If you don't buy them, they're gone. So just be very careful of time pressures too.
Do you know, I've actually become quite good at this. I'm sure it probably is my own mobile phone provider. But because of the way it was done, I just didn't feel happy with the information that I was being asked for. So I just said no, because I was in doubt. And I think they'll come back to you. If it is genuine, then you've not lost anything, have you?
Exactly, yes. I mean, a genuine call, they will find a way to eventually contact you. So, yes, you just need to be very careful of those types of approaches.
Well, it's certainly an eye-opener. Professor Mark Button, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.